אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. On Wednesday, Israel's Knesset voted to dissolve itself by a vote of 61-54 after coalition partners Kahol Levan, led by Alternative Prime Minister Benny Gantz, agreed to support a dissolution bill proposed by former allies Yesh Atid. The Islamic religious party Ram decided to sit out the vote after a warming of relations between its leader Mansour Abbas and Prime Minister Netanyahu, leading to other members of the joint Arab list using their speeches in the plenum to plead for unity within the Arab alliance and criticizing Ram's decision. There were two dissolution bills passed on Wednesday. They now go to committee and will require three more votes in the Knesset plenary before becoming legislation. And there is some controversy as to which committee will deal with them first. Kahol Levan wants them to go to the Knesset House Committee, chaired by their member Eitan Ginsburg. If they go to the Elections Committee, Likud can hold up the bills for months. Opposition leader Yair Lapid, who proposed the measure, said the dissolution of the Knesset is not a victory. It's the first step towards a different government, which will deal with the coronavirus and the economy and won't cause Israelis to hate each other. It was predicted that the Yesh Atid-sponsored bill would pass when Benny Gantz said on Tuesday that he could no longer support the government and that his party would support the bill to call early elections. In a prime-time televised address, Gantz described Netanyahu as a serial breaker of promises. He accused the Prime Minister of lying to the public when he agreed to form a unity coalition between Likud and Kahol Levan. Gantz told Israelis, "Netanyahu didn't lie to me, he lied to you. He didn't dupe me, he duped the citizens of Israel." It is possible that the bills will not be the trigger for new elections. If Kahol Levan does not vote for the budget by December the 23rd, failure to pass the budget will automatically trigger elections in March. Finance Minister Israel Katz is meeting with Gantz today to try to convince him to support his current partial and mostly retroactive budget proposal. Both Likud and Kahol Levan want to demonstrate to the public that the other is responsible for the new elections, which most Israelis do not want. Opposition leader Yair Lapid on Thursday issued a call to Kahol Levan and other parties to join an alliance under his leadership, an offer that was immediately rebuffed by his partner-turned-rival. Polls show that no leader other than Netanyahu will be able to form the next government, although Yamina's Naftali Bennett may offer a challenge from the right. The National Security Council issued a travel advisory on Thursday, warning that Iran may try to attack Israelis overseas and urging greater vigilance. The NSC did not specify the nature of the Iranian threats, but alluded to Iranian officials publicly blaming Israel for the assassination of top nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. Breaking rules for large gatherings, thousands of people, many of whom were not wearing masks, took part in a Jerusalem funeral procession on Thursday for Rabbi Aaron David Chadash, who died overnight on Wednesday at the age of 93 after being infected with coronavirus. Rabbi Chadash was the spiritual leader of the Mir Yeshiva. He was diagnosed with COVID-19 2 months ago, and although initially thought to be making a recovery, his condition recently deteriorated. Funerals are currently limited to 20 people. COVID-19 infection rates are rising again as the second national lockdown is gradually being eased, and health authorities are warning that more stringent measures may need to be reimposed. The Corona Cabinet is meeting today to decide on restrictions for the festivals of Hanukkah beginning on Thursday night and Christmas in 2 weeks. The death rate in Israel from coronavirus has reached 2,901. Israel signed an agreement with Moderna on Friday to triple the number of coronavirus vaccines the American pharmaceutical company will supply. The original agreement for 2 million doses was expanded to 6 million, enough for 3 million Israelis. Israel transferred 3.7 billion shekel in tax revenues it collects on behalf of the Palestinian Authority to Ramallah on Wednesday. Without deducting the cost of stipends, the PA pays out to Palestinians wounded or jailed by Israel for security offences and the families of those killed. A 2018 law requires the government to deduct the estimated costs of the stipends from monthly tax revenues that Israel transfers to the Palestinian Authority. From February to October 2019, the PA refused to accept any tax transfers from Israel to protest the deductions, compounding their financial crisis. Ramallah eventually relented as the economic situation deteriorated, but in June again refused to accept any revenues to protest plans to annex parts of the West Bank. Last month, the PA agreed to begin accepting transfers again following the election of Joe Biden as US president, but some officials had indicated that the stipend deductions would again be an issue. To appease the incoming American administration and to ease the economic crisis in the PA-administered territories, Israel allowed all the funds to be transferred. A group calling itself Black Shadow hacked the Israeli insurance company Sherbet, collecting a vast hoard of personal data on its clients, many of whom are civil servants. In a joint statement on Tuesday, the Capital Markets Authority and the Israeli National Cyber Directorate confirmed that there had been a cyber attack on the insurance company and that information had been leaked in the breach. In a series of ungrammatical and poorly spelled tweets that included images of some of the information taken, as well as technical details apparently intended to show the scale of the assault, the group demanded payment of $1 million. Sherbet has refused to pay, and the hackers have begun to publish private information on its clients. Police yesterday morning removed a statue which was inspired by an iconic photo of a demonstrator against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu holding Israel's flag against a stream of liquid shot from a water cannon. Artist Itai Zalait, who lay down at the statue's base in an attempt to prevent its removal, was arrested. Zalait said the statue, which was erected in Jerusalem's Paris Square, close to the Prime Minister's residence and the epicenter of protests against Netanyahu, had an engineering permit and did not disturb anyone. Zalait was among thousands of demonstrators outside the Prime Minister's Jerusalem residence last night in the largest demonstration for many weeks. The removal of the statue may have encouraged some to join the demonstrations. Waving Israeli flags as they stepped down the steps of the aircraft, over 300 members of Ethiopia's Jewish community arrived in Israel on Thursday in a special airlift from Gondar, headed by Absorption and Immigration Minister Panino Tamano-Shatta. The arrival marked the opening phase of a plan to bring some 2,000 members of the community to Israel from Ethiopia in what has been dubbed Operation Tzur Yisrael. Some of the passengers kissed the ground as soon as they reached the tarmac, as festive Hebrew songs were blasted over loudspeakers. Zayed Al-Zayani, Bahrain's Minister for Industry, Commerce and Tourism, spent 3 days in Israel this past week. He described Jerusalem as the most spiritual city in the world, saying that the closer he got to the holy sites, the stronger the spirits he felt. An earthquake that struck Turkey yesterday afternoon was felt in parts of northern Israel, and the season's first snow fell on the peak of Mount Hermon. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem and wishing all our listeners Chag Urim Sameach. Have a happy Chanukah.